This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Throughout the evening yesterday and all day long today, mourners are passing through the Capitol Rotunda to see the flag-draped coffin of former President Ronald Reagan. Artist Bob McMahon rode a bus down from Brooklyn, New York, and he was one of thousands standing in line early this morning.
4 o'clock in the morning. I can't even form a sentence. We're just here to pay respects. They told us it was a 6 or an 8 hour wait. But even so, it's worth doing.
NPR's David Wellner reports on last night's state funeral.
After being flown from California aboard Air Force One, President Reagan's body was brought by hearse to a point halfway between his home for 8 years, the White House, and the Washington Monument. As Nancy Reagan emerged there from the car she'd been riding in, a man called out from a large crowd gathered along the National Mall.
God bless you, Nancy!
The applause that followed would break out many more times as a six-horse team pulled a caisson bearing the coffin up Constitution Avenue to the Capitol. Like a similar procession 4 decades ago following the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, this one too had a symbolic riderless horse with boots backwards in its stirrups. But unlike the somber mood that pervaded Kennedy's state funeral, there was almost an air of celebration in the crowd 15 persons deep that lined the avenue. Three teams of military pallbearers hoisted the mahogany coffin up 3 long flights of stairs leading up the west side of the Capitol. Nancy Reagan stayed close by as it was slowly carried into the rotunda and placed on a wooden platform covered with black cloth. Under the dome of the Capitol, Democratic and Republican congressional leaders stood side by side, along with hundreds more lawmakers and dignitaries. But only Republican officials spoke at the state funeral ceremony. Ted Stevens is the Senate pro tem.
President Abraham Lincoln was the first president to lie in state under this Capitol dome. In the coming days, thousands will come to these hallowed halls to say goodbye to another son of Illinois who, like Lincoln, appealed to our best hopes, not our worst fears.
There was also a political edge to Stevens' remarks, a reminder that Mr. Reagan's presidency is still controversial.
When Ronald Reagan was sworn in as our 40th president, this nation was gripped by a powerful malaise. Inflation and unemployment were soaring, and the Soviet Union was winning the Cold War. By the time President Reagan left office, he had reversed the trend of ever-increasing government control over our lives, restored our defense capabilities, guided us through the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression, and set in motion policies which ultimately led to the collapse of the evil empire.
Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert, for his part, said Reagan disregarded what he called the advice of the timid when it came to foreign policy.
President Reagan dared to dream that America had a special mission. He believed in the essential goodness of the American people, and that we had a special duty to promote peace and freedom for the rest of the world.
The last to speak was Vice President Cheney. Mr. Reagan, he said, gave hope to the oppressed and shamed the oppressors.
And who else but Ronald Reagan could face his own decline and death with a final message of hope to his country, telling us that for America, there is always a bright dawn ahead. Fellow Americans, here lies a graceful and a gallant man.
The ceremony ended with Cheney escorting Nancy Reagan to the coffin. There she reached out and stroked its flag-draped surface, then patted it, speaking softly to the remains of her husband of 52 years. She'll return with that coffin to California for its burial at sunset Friday evening. David Wallner, NPR News, the Capitol.